All right, kiddos, come on. How's everybody today? Good? Everybody's back in school now, right? Everybody loves school, right? Kind of? Not really? I just wanted to see if y'all tell the truth. Okay, let's see. I need one volunteer. Let's see. Okay, David, you can be our first one. Come on over here. Now, everybody else, I want you to go right over there by the window. Okay? Y'all go over there. Okay? Not you, Dave. You're with me. All right, y'all? Oh, we're going to take a trip here. Come on over here. All right. Now, Dave, here's the plan, son. You got your friends over there. They're on this island, and a hurricane is coming. And it's going to swamp the island. And if they're really your friends, and they don't know that it's coming, what are you going to do?
Tell them.
Tell them and do what? What else? If they're really your friends, you're going to go get them. All right? But you can only get one right now. Okay? So, go get them. Bring them back. We're on dry land here. All right. Jimmy, you ought to feel special, son.
Yeah.
You're chosen of the Lord. Okay? All right. It hadn't gotten here yet, so, hey, now can you go get your friends?
Yeah.
But you can only get one. And do you want Jimmy to help you? Okay,
go
get one. It's nice to know he got his sister. She at least made the top two. This is good. Such affection between siblings. Okay. It hadn't gotten here yet. We've still got people to rescue. All right. Can you going to use the rest of these people to help you? Okay, go get them. Okay. There's still somebody left. Who's going to go get him?
I am.
Go get him. Okay, bring him on over here. Bring him on over here. Okay.
You can let him go now.
Now I want y'all to see, listen up. I want y'all to see what just happened.
We rescued each other.
In the Bible, it says, for us in Matthew 28, 19, 20, it says, go therefore into all the world, preach, teach, and baptize. And we're to... Oh, we got one more! We started out with David. We started out with him. And he went and got somebody, and then they got somebody else. And somebody else, and somebody else. And before you know it, we multiplied. Y'all come on over here. Everybody over here. You see, that's what we're supposed to do with the good news of Jesus. We're supposed to multiply. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these children. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Go ye therefore in all the world, preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray we will share the good news of Jesus with all of our friends, all those who come in our path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All righty. I want y'all to notice Captain America is going out with them. To which Mrs. Captain America, when I asked her before the service how it was being married to Captain America, she said, well, it's okay. Did you tell your mama that? Hey, don't be editing what I say here. That's not fair. For all I know, you're throwing me under the bus right now. Just like Brother CY did in Nigeria. If you have your Bible, we turn to the 6th chapter of 1 Samuel. Did y'all notice how that economy works? How simple that is? If you knew that something was coming, wouldn't you want to warn people and tell them the good news, the life they could have? Well, let me tell you, something is coming. Something's already here, and it's coming. And the good news of Jesus is an antidote for all of that. Because He changes our lives. We get the best life now and the best life to come. It's both and. It's not either or. It's Jesus. Now, for those of you who haven't been with us, we've been journeying through the series of messages on hearing the voice of God, and we've been using 1 Samuel. The story beginning there in Samuel's life as he heard the voice of God. Now, I just want to remind you of a few things to bring you, up to date so we can get into chapter 6 today. First of all, God is speaking. It's not a question today if He's speaking or not. He's speaking, and He's speaking to you. Question is, are you listening? It's never a question as to whether or not He's speaking. He is speaking. He's speaking to you, but are you listening? In the story, we see young Samuel, who is he's a miracle baby. His mother was not able to bear children. Eli prays, the priest there. He prays, and Hannah gets pregnant. It's a beautiful story. And then his mama gives him unto the Lord. He comes there to be discipled there with Eli when he's just a little fella. And he hears God's voice. And he doesn't recognize it. But Eli is kind of a contradictory character in the story. He's got baggage. He knew about God, and he knew the Lord, but he had compromised his faith in a lot of different ways. But he knew God was speaking to Eli, and so he tells him what to do. He says, just say, hear my Lord, speak to me. And so that Samuel does that. That begins his life with the Lord as he begins to grow in the Lord. We see then that Eli has these sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that are just bad guys. They've been abusing things from the Lord. And though God is speaking to people, here He's speaking to this little guy, and here are these two guys that have grown up around all of this, but they missed it. So in the story, there are these contrasts constantly. There's little Samuel, and then on the other side is Hophni and Phinehas. You know, here's the spiritual child here, and here's the physical child over here. And you see the contradictions that go back and forth. Well, the Philistines were against the Israelites at that time, as they always were. They were kind of the Darth Vader, if you will, that was always against them. The Israelites feel like they can use the Ark of the Covenant as some kind of good luck charm. Now, Samuel grows up, and the mantle is going to be passed, of leadership is going to be passed to him, but it hasn't quite got there yet. And here the Israelites are engaged in this battle with the Philistines, and man, they are beaten soundly. 4,000 are killed. So then they decide, well, we'll just take the Ark of the Covenant into battle with us. And again, here you have these things that should be spiritual, that should be bring great spiritual truth to them, yet they're trampling on what is spiritual. And they take the Ark into battle like it's a good luck charm. Well, the Philistines were afraid at first of what was going to happen. They heard the shout in the Israelite camp, and they really thought that the way they would view it, they thought that, surely the Israelites' God, he's bigger than our God, Dagon, and we're going to get beaten. So we've got to turn up the jets a little bit more on our commitment. And so they get this message from their leaders that they need to serve in battle in a tremendous way and give their lives. Well, as the battle turns out, 30,000 Israeli soldiers are killed, and they're beaten soundly, and the Ark of the Covenant is taken captive by the Philistines. And then begins them taking the Ark from city to city. They start at Ashdod. They go to Gath, then to Ekron. Yeah, John, thank you. With the Ark. Now, at each place, do you remember what we talked about last week? A plague comes for them. Remember what the plague was? Yes, sir. They got a case of those emerods. It was on their body. Now, also something that followed that we know that happened from context of it was that rats came in the cities there, and so by the time it makes it to the Ark makes it Ekron, these other cities didn't want it. By the time it makes it there, the other, all the Philistine leaders, they're thinking, man, we don't want this thing. We want to figure out a way to get rid of it. Because surely, this is not a blessing to us at all. Now, in all of this, we keep hearing God's voice. God is trying to speak to the Philistines. He's trying to speak to the Israelites. But nobody's listening. They're doing their own thing. So we come to chapter 6. That's where we'll pick up today. Verse 1. Now the Ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. I think that's a significant thing. When you see the word seven, the number seven, what does that usually indicate? It's a number of completion. So, it's there 7 months. I believe by this time, God has completed what He's planned to do through that while they're in possession of it. The Philistines called for the priest and for the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we shall send it to its place." They said, "If you send away the Ark of Israel, do not send it empty. You shall surely return to him, the God of the Israelites, Yahweh, a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What shall the guilt offering, which we shall turn, returned to him, and they said, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice. Can you see the parallelism of this? Why would it be 5? How many city-states of the Philistines were there? Remember those? You can see them. You can't see all of them on the map, but you've got Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, Gaza, and Ashkelon. Those are those 5 city-states of the Philistines. So 5 golden tumors, 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on all of you and on your lords. So you shall make likenesses of your tumors and likenesses of your mice that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will ease his hand from you, your gods, and your land. Do you see the picture here? See the picture? They're trying to placate this other god. Because you see, they believed in a multiplicity of gods. They didn't believe in just one god. They believed that every group had their own god. And when you went into battle, if you won in battle, it meant that your god was stronger than the god of the one that you defeated. Before you make fun of that, don't we fall in that same trap with some of our beliefs about things? Verse 6. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had severely dealt with them, did they not allow the people to go? And they departed. So here we are, hundreds of years removed. We're a long time from the Exodus. We're a long time from that. Yet, here this other culture, this Philistine culture, knows all about what happened down in Egypt. The story had been passed around. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Verse 7. Now therefore, take and prepare a new cart, 2 milk cows on which has never been a yoke. Hitch the cows to the cart and take the calves home away from them. Now, why would they do that? Now look on the map. You're in Ekron. That's where the ark was last. They're going to hook these cows up, these cows that have calved, that have calves, and they're going to send them out on a journey. They're not going to be led there by anyone. They're just going to let them walk away. And that's part of the reason why they will know that it's God, that the Lord is working in this way, if those lowing milk cows will leave their calves and go toward the city of Beth Shemesh, which means house of the sun. So let's read the rest of it. Verse 8. Take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart, and put the articles of gold, which you will return to him as a guilt offering, in a box by its side. Now, I want you to just stop here just a moment. And I know you can find all kinds of things that's wrong with what the Philistines are doing, but in some ways, they've got it better or seeing it plainer than the Israelites do. Can you see that? And these are people who are worshiping Dagon. They're seeing it plainer. Then send it away and it will go. Watch, and if it goes by the way of its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he, this God of the Israelites, has done us this great evil. But if not, then we'll know that it was not His hand that struck us, it happened to us by chance. You see? They're putting out fleece. They're saying, we're going to hook the cows up to this cart, And we're going to put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart. We're going to put this other box that has our gifts, our guilt offering, in it. And we're going to let those cows that have calves here, we'll let them go. And if they will turn and go east into their own territory to Beth Shemesh, then we'll know that it's God that has done it, the God of Israel. Verse 10, then the men did so, and they took two milk cows, hitched them to the cart, shut up their calves at home, and they put the Ark of the Lord on the cart, and the box with the golden mice and the likenesses of their tumors. And the cows took the straight way in the direction of Beth Shemesh, and they went along the highway, lowing as they went, did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now, I want you to see several things in this story. Does it make sense so far? Does the storyline, are you following the storyline so far? Okay. I want you to see God never wastes anything, even in the disobedience of the Israelites when they used the ark as a good luck charm. God didn't waste that opportunity. Because what happened when the ark went? The voice of the Lord was speaking. You see all these Philistines that were affected? Not only were they affected there, but they were remembering the stories about this God that went back to Egypt. So, God doesn't waste anything in your life, even the bad stuff that goes on. He weaves His will and His plan even through that. So don't look back and say, well, you know, I've wasted that. Well, yeah, it may have been a waste before the Lord. But don't say God can't use it. Because, you know, every time God's using one of us, what is He using? He's using an imperfect vessel. So He weaves this together. Secondly, the ark was a blessing to the Philistines. Now, would any Philistine at that time have said that it was a blessing to them? Why would I say the Ark of the Covenant was a blessing to them? Because they got to hear the voice of God. They got to experience the presence of God. His Ark was there. This Ark of the Covenant was there. And they were experiencing His power and His presence. Imagine what it was like. And imagine even as they were watching to see which way these cows were going to go, when they turned and went toward Beth Shemesh. Imagine that. So it was a blessing. I wonder how many things in your life right now that you're seeing as a negative, but it's actually God trying to get your attention. And He's speaking to you. Are you listening? Are you listening to what He has to say? You may feel like, well, this is a plague in my life, or this shouldn't be happening right now. The answer isn't whether or not those things happen in your life, because stuff happens, doesn't it? The question is, when it happens, who are you turning to? Number three, God will bring to our remembrance the things that He has done when He has spoken, how He has worked. He'll go back and He'll say to us, He'll speak in our spirit, remember this? Has He done that for you this week? If you pause long enough to take a look at your life, to do an Isaiah 1:18 on your life, you know, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, kind of look at your life, He'll piece those things together and He'll show you how He's been working in your life all along. Now we read these stories and we immediately think, well, the Israelites are the good guys, the Philistines are the bad guys. But what was His desire for the Philistines? He wants salvation for them too. I mean, look at what He did with Jonah when He called Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites. You say, well, it can never happen. Hey, man, they had a great revival in Nineveh that's even spoken of some of the changes that took place in Nineveh at that time in the secular literature of the day. So God will bring these things to your memories. He was working in the Philistines' life. Now, let me ask you this. While all this is going on with the Philistines, do you think word is getting back to the Israelites about what's going on? I guarantee you it is. I guarantee you it is. Number four. God completes what He begins. Verse 1, 7 months. 7 months! He brought the ark's tour of the cities of Philistia to a close. He completed it. And I know, listen to me on this. Some of you are thinking, Dusty, I've got stuff going on in my life right now. And now you're going to have ears to hear what I'm about to tell you. Because you don't have ears to hear it, it's just, and you're going to miss it. Maybe it's time to start looking at the things in your life and saying, asking a different question. Maybe the question isn't, Lord, why don't you change these things? Maybe the question needs to be, Lord, how are you speaking through these things that are going on in my life? What if the Philistines had done that at the very beginning? Would there have been a plague of tumors? No. And definitely no rats that would follow the plague. 7 months. What God completes, what God begins, He completes. Number five. The Philistine leaders in the story, Who do they go and inquire of when they have the question? It says in verse 2, they called for their priests and their diviners. They called for the ones they thought were the spiritual people. But yet, what have they just come off of? They've come off God had shown them in living color this video of how vacant their priest and their whole religion was. What had happened in the chapter before? Remember? They put the ark in the house of Dagon, in the temple of their god Dagon. You remember what where they found the statue of Dagon the next day? I'll put that up there, John. John found this for me. I wanted you to see it's probably what the likeness of their god looked like. The head and torso of a man, the arms with the body of a fish. And see, when it falls down, you see it broken there? It on the left breaks off the head and the hands. And it's just got the body of the fish left. What a graphic picture of exposing the bankruptcy, exposing the falseness of this God. Yet, when it's on the line, what do? The very next chapter. They're going to call together these priests and these diviners. And they have nothing to say to them. In spite of all that, God still speaks through them, doesn't He? Because they come up with this, well, if this was one of our gods, you know, we would want to bring a guilt offering, so you do that. So again, God doesn't waste anything. But at this point, they should be on their faces saying, the same God who brought these Israelites out of Egypt, the same God who broke our idol before our eyes, He is the God who is represented by this Ark of the Covenant. And we'll turn to Him. Why not ask God Himself? I want to ask you today, to whom do you ask your questions? Some people say, well, you're not supposed to question God. Well, who are you going to question? Why not bring your questions before Him and say, God, I don't understand this. Reveal Yourself to me. I'm ready to hear. Because what is the example of little Samuel? What did little Samuel say? Hear my Lord. Speak to me. Your servant is ready to hear. Finally, last part of the story that we read today. As those priests and diviners and all the Philistine leaders, the heads of the five cities, as they're watching those milk cows who are pulling this cart, go back to the map, if you will, John. As those cows have begun to pull that cart, unmanned, toward Beth Shemesh, they're still thinking that it might just be a coincidence. I want to ask you, how much more evidence do you need? And here's another question. When they saw that those cows did do that, now, they go and they make a sacrifice later on. We'll read that next week. They make a sacrifice. There's a sacrifice that is made at Beth Shemesh. There should have been a turning to the Lord by all the cities because God proved it to them. He gave them the evidence they were looking for. Yet they did not turn to Him. Just like those who watched Lazarus walk out of the grave after 4 days, they did not believe. Just like those who watched Jesus as He arose from the dead did not choose to believe. Listen to me. It gets back to your choice. You hear the voice of God? Do you listen and obey what He says? He's speaking to you today. Do you hear His voice plainly? And are you willing to obey? The Philistines kind of fit in that category at this point. We'll get to the Israelites next week. But the Philistines fit in this category. Well, just show us one more thing. Show us one more thing. Do one more miracle. One more trick. Do one more thing that'll show who you are. And look at all the evidence that is mounted up. They even went back and did historical referencing of the evidence. And all of it was consistent that Yahweh is God. He is Elohim. He is the one. He is Lord over all. He has shown that. Do you need more evidence? Then here's the question. He's speaking to you. How are you responding? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Is it in faith? Or not? We're going to open the altar. If you'd like to come today and pray, have someone pray with you. You may think today that you have a problem or situation in your life that is absolutely insurmountable. But the God, the same God, who can cause cows to leave their calves and walk the other direction, the God who can tip over idols and break them in our presence, the God who can bring miracle after miracle after miracle, is the same God who wants to work in your life. He is here. He's ready to answer. How many of you have had an answer to prayer this week? You know God did something. Praise His name. He did it. What more does He want to do if we'll but cooperate with Him? You've probably never heard a story, a pastor bring up the possibility of the salvation of the Philistines before you. But you've heard it today. What if they missed an opportunity? He's walking by. Don't miss the opportunity. We open the altar. If you've never received Jesus in your life, today is a day of salvation. If you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, He is Lord over all. We sang it a while ago. We have sung the gospel today. We have prayed the gospel today. We have spoken the gospel today. The good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and His coming again real soon. Let us respond to Him today in faith. Lord, right now, I'm praying, Lord, as I pray right now, I can feel in my heart heavy hearts in this room right now. Hearts that need to be offloaded in faith before You. And Lord, may that happen today. May we trust You with all the junk, all the stuff, and come humbly in Your presence. Lord, speak to us now as we open the altar and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come and move and work. Lord, I pray today for forgiveness, for healing, for deliverance, for salvation. In Jesus' name. Pastors, if you would join me here, the altar's open.
It's all been said and done. There is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done, love's reward, will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy so great. That you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, making sinners into saints. I will always sing your praises. Here on earth and ever after, for you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone. I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after. For you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, you're my life when life is gone.
One of those praises that Audrey and I have this week is, her mother had a simple mastectomy a couple of weeks ago, and she had a stage 1 cancer that was in the growth there, but all the other places they checked were clear and clean. And we just want to praise the Lord today for that. He has answered our prayers. And I thank all of you for your prayers for her. And Tim, come on up here if you want. When servants of the Lord come through, we like to bless them and pray for them. Tim and Linda and their 3 girls were with us years ago, part of this family. And Tim has been part of planting a church that is up in Vermont. So he lives in New York, right? You have to cross state lines.
Yeah.
And today, it's a brand new church, two years old?
2 years old.
I want us to pray for Tim. He's the pastor. And, you know, back in those days, I remember one day we were praying for Tim at his house. And just to kind of weave a couple of stories in here together, he had been sick, had been out of work for weeks. And I remember us praying over him, and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He hadn't been able to eat. He was sick. He was a sick puppy. I remember feeling there in his home something turn in the heavenly. And you ate supper that night, right?
I ate supper that night. I hadn't eaten in 12 weeks. I couldn't keep anything in. Just enough fluid so that I didn't end up admitted to the hospital. And that night I sat down to the dinner table and ate. You think of healing as being something biblical. We experience it right here.
Amen.
God is a healer. Not only physically, but he heals spiritually.
Yes,
and we have to look for that spiritual healing. We have to spread that spiritual healing.
And he's in a dark place. Vermont is 2% evangelical Christian. That would be 2% evangelical Christian. So I want you to come. If you want to come and lay hands on Tim, come on, girls. Y'all can come on down here. Mom, let's come on. I know Catherine, you love to. She thought Miss Audrey was God at one time in her life.
and Dale was
Now, Tim, no, you're not doing an easy thing. Y'all aren't doing an easy thing. It's heavy lifting where you are and planting a church. And so we want to intercede for you, anoint you right now. Anoint you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, a long time ago, you set this man apart. You set this family apart, and I thank you for that. Thank you for the time you allowed us to have with them. What blessings, Lord, we enjoyed together. Lord, you had a mission that was bigger than anesthesia for him, a mission of the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you. Now, I'm asking you, Lord, as we send him out again and pray blessing over him, I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, you will do signs and wonders. I pray, God, that there will be salvation that will come to the hearts of many, many, many who have never received you. Lord, and that you'll grow up your church. Lord, I pray for your encouragement for the leaders there. Lord, especially for Tim and Linda, Lord, I ask you to give to them your power and your presence on a daily basis, Lord. Lord, so they would not faint, Lord, and grow weary in well-doing. Refresh them today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, we pray. Amen. And like we always like to ask, do you receive this prayer?
Absolutely, I do. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And while people are going back to their seats, I want to share one. Dusty always has stories for us to share. Well, I have to share one about Dusty that I always used to say to him. Many of you know that I came to Savannah as an anesthetist. That was my secular job. That's how I got to Vermont, was as a traveler, as an anesthetist. And God called me to be the pastor of the church. And through a long sequence of events of God opening doors, Linda and I became Mission Service Corps missionaries for the North American Mission Board, commissioned to plant the church in Vermont. Well, something that goes around, you know, it goes around, comes around kind of thing. When I was a part of this body of believers, I remember being requested to put people to sleep at work. And I used to always tease Dusty. I would say, you know, Dusty, I have almost put as many people to sleep in this church as you have. Well, my friend, now I'm putting them to sleep in all venues. I tell them I can put them to sleep on Sunday as well as I can during the week. And in either case, I'm going to wake them up.
Et tu, Brute.
Oh. Oh. Thank you, brother, I guess.
Exactly.
Tim would like for us to join as prayer partners for this church, which is the Arlington Community Church in Arlington, Vermont. And we'll be putting something on the website about it so you can stay in touch and pray. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring that at this time. Jen, you're having surgery this week? Tuesday. I'll pray for you too. Back surgery. Lord, we pray you watch over Jen this week and pray your healing on her body. And for little Becca today, we pray, Lord, she had a rough day. And Lord, pray your restoration of her. And Lord, for little Emery, this brand new baby that has come, we pray, God, your blessing that you'll restore that child to complete health. And now it is incumbent upon me to send you out in the authority of Yahweh, our Father, in the love of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, His Son, and in the power of that pneumatos hagios, the Holy Spirit. Or as every time I used to read the King James when I had my inner city mission, I'd say, Holy Ghost, and Thomasina Washington would get up and dance. So I'm going to say, Holy Ghost, so you can dance right on out of here. God bless you.